Welcome back to Issues Etc. for the second hour here. We're actually going to do quite a number of things here in the remaining 2 hours of Issues Etc. First, we're going to be talking about campus ministry. There are two movements in the church. I've grown convinced of this. I actually stole this idea from my producer, who came to the conclusion, and he's been doing this longer than I have. He's been doing Issues Etc. for, what, 10 years now, I think? I've only been doing it for about five. But he's been working with the topics, the guests, the subjects of Issues Etc. through this radio program for almost a decade now. He came to the conclusion a couple of years ago that there are two movements in the church. One is aiming to rightly educate, instruct, catechize, form, whatever term you want to use, the laity in the church. And the other is pretty much content for the laity to remain or to be dumbed down, ignorant of what they're supposed to believe. They spend a lot of time talking about how they're supposed to live without a lot of doctrinal foundation. We're going to be talking about campus ministry. And in a lot of ways, those years in which people either leave or stay in the church. Pastor David Disson is our guest. And how much those two movements play a role in campus ministry. If you'd like to join us, our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. A little later, we'll be talking with some, how did the order finally come out? We're going to be talking to some students, a students roundtable. We'll actually go from campus ministry to the people who are the subjects of this kind of ministry. We'll also have a pastor's roundtable a little bit later in the program. And then finally, and I've told them, the longer you wait to come on the air, the worse it gets. You have to follow everyone else, but then we'll have a layperson's roundtable, including some lay people here from Southeast Missouri. We are broadcasting live this Friday. It's the 16th of April, live from the Lutheran Chapel of Hope on the campus of Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Again, those phone numbers, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Pastor David Disson this is the first time I believe he's been on the program, Issues Etc. He's pastor of the Lutheran Chapel of Hope here in Cape Girardeau, and we will hear a bit about the preceding years of his ministry as well in the course of our conversation. David, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Pastor Wilkin, and we are just more than delighted that you and Jeff are here and that you are broadcasting live from Lutheran Chapel of Hope. You are our honored guests, and we appreciate your being here.
We appreciate the invitation, and it's very nice to be among you. It's a warm sensation. I feel a strange warming of my inner being just being here. Pastor Disson, first of all, let's talk about the nature of campus ministry. And answer this question first. Is it different, and if so, how, from the parish ministry that you have long experience in?
Well, I would say that essentially the basics are pretty much the same. In the parish ministry, we are committed to one thing. We are committed to the teaching and to the preaching of God's word. We are committed to the teaching according to our Lutheran confessions. Not that our confessions interpret the scripture. Scripture interprets itself. But we say that our Lutheran confessions are a correct exhibition of what scripture teaches. So basically, our campus ministry is centered in God's word. It's centered in scripture, and it's centered in our Lutheran confessions. Is it different? Yes, it's different in this respect, that the students that are here this afternoon, basically my ministry revolves around students. In the parish ministry, you have people of all ages. Of course, some of our students at times miss that, and because they miss that, you find students periodically prefer to attend one of the local churches here in Cape, and some of them do that. When I was pastor at Trinity, we had a few students that would come on a regular basis to Trinity because they said they missed the family atmosphere of church. Instead of just worshiping, you know, with students all the time, not that students are bad, you know, students are fine. I love the students, but I can see and I can understand that, but we never ever tried to take students away from the campus ministry. I'm a firm believer that if students at all possible need to get plugged into the campus ministry and try to center their life around that ministry of word and sacrament there with fellow students. So yes, changes, Differences, yes, but similarities also.
So it is a ministry of word and sacrament that is in its essentials no different than what ought to be happening in every church throughout history, throughout time, regardless of what the congregation is.
You're so right, Pastor Wilkin, because when I see the students that I minister to, I see dying people like myself. We are dying because we are sinners. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when I minister to these students, I realize any one of those students can die at any moment. You know, the saying is the old must die and the young may die. So if I would have to change my ministry to the students just because they're students, if I would have to quit teaching God's word, then I would be in the wrong profession.
One of my hobbies, I guess you could call it a hobby, is when I have spare time and I'm on the internet, I'll go around looking at church websites and across denominational lines, because you can learn a lot. When someone puts together a website, they try and say, this is what I'm about, this is what our organization is about, and they get it down to brass tacks, and you can learn a lot about what a congregation thinks they're there for by looking at their website. Okay, so I'm going to one, and I came across one from a very famous megachurch that I won't name, and they had pictures of the staff members there, and of course, the staff member, the pastor who, and they had probably six pastors, so they could have a pastor for this and a pastor for that. They had a pastor for youth and college age students. And looking at his picture, young, head shaved like mine, obligatory goatee, he looked like kind of an overgrown high school student dressed in the casual clothes. I look at you. You're not at completely advanced age. You do have a head somewhat like mine. No goatee. Someone's going to look and say, campus ministry with a man who is past his retirement age, you're too old. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'll tell you what.
We need the young people doing this stuff.
That was my belief when I was approached by a couple of the leaders of our campus ministry here. They knew that I had retired, and they asked to meet with me. As a matter of fact, we met out at McDonald's, and we talked over some coffee. And they asked if I would consider doing campus ministry. And I said to them, you've got to be kidding. You don't want a man my age doing campus ministry. The students want someone, you know, who is 25, 30 years old, something like that, someone that's hip and the like. And one of the men said, Pastor Disson, campus ministry is not age specific. In other words, just be a pastor to the students. That's what I've tried to be. And I do believe that campus ministry is not age-specific.
Is there, in some sense, an advantage to not only the experience of life and ministry that you have prior to entering campus ministry, but also the relationship that you would naturally have with people of college age, and that is, it would be more of a father relationship or perhaps even a grandfather relationship. I don't know how old your grandkids are.
Well, this is something, you know, again, that I believe you're right on, Pastor Wilkin, that I think many times students will relate to an older pastor in that way. They're away from home. They're away from their parents. They're away from their grandparents. And maybe some of them look at me as a great, 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 great grandparent. You know, they think I'm really ancient. Some of the students that we got here, they sort of gig me every once in a while with that. We've got one in particular that likes to do that. He calls me ancient. But, there's a lot of benefit in being older and working with students.
Do you find, and this has been an observation that many have made, that the Generation X or the millennial generation, which is the college-age kids nowadays, have more in common with their grandparents than they do with their boomer parents? You're not a boomer.
No.
You're in the previous generation.
See, I knew you thought I was ancient too, didn't you?
But do you find that the youth of today have more in common with the older generation than they do perhaps even with their parents in terms of their views, their worldview, their outlooks on social and moral issues, theology, church, things like that?
It's a very interesting question, and I think you're right onto something there, Pastor Wilkin, because I do believe that many of our college-age students are more closely connected, you know, to their grandparents maybe than their parents when it comes to this. Amazing, and this might amaze many people that are listening. Here about 3 months ago, we talked with the students to find out what would you like to study in our Wednesday noon Bible class. And would you believe that two subjects came up? The one subject was a study of comparative religions. In other words, what are the differences between the other religions? And guess what? The other one was the Lutheran liturgy. Would you take us through the Lutheran liturgy and show us how that is structured? This is what we are doing right now. And I find that we've been having some pretty good discussion with our students as we go through the Lutheran liturgy, and some of them are really amazed to discover how much of Scripture is contained in the Lutheran liturgy. And they're fascinated by that.
It strikes me that some of them, given the way that the liturgy has also been abandoned in many churches, may for the first time in college be exposed to the historic form of worship that Christians have used for millennia.
And I believe that's true. Yes.
We're talking with Pastor David Disson about campus ministry. He's pastor of the Lutheran Chapel of Hope here in Cape Girardeau, the location from which we are broadcasting live Friday this, April the 16th. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're here on the campus of Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It strikes me we're approaching the summer, and a lot of kids are getting ready to graduate from high school. They're looking toward the university or the college. If you have a child or a grandchild in that position, you're wondering, you have a question about what lies ahead for these kids. Will they go and simply fall into the world of fraternities and sororities and parties and studies and career advancement, or can they remain connected to God and to His church through Jesus Christ? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Also, for those who have joined us here at the Lutheran Chapel of Hope, the microphone here is for your questions and comments as well. Feel free to approach the microphone, and as time permits, we'll take your questions and your comments. Pastor Disson, let's talk about some of the temptations peculiar to the campus environment. This is a state university, and there are many temptations on the campus environment, and how you deal with that and along with the students there.
Well, one of our students that's present this afternoon is a resident counselor. I know that in talking with her, there are different things, different subjects that she brings up. I believe that the challenges in our campus ministry are there. You just have to open your eyes and you can see them. And one of the biggest challenges for our students is, number one, just living the Christian life. It's living in their baptismal grace. You know that as we have been baptized into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so we are to die unto sin and rise unto newness of living. And it becomes very difficult for the students at times, with all the pressures that are placed upon them, to drift away from those moorings. So I believe that's one big challenge that we have. Another big challenge I see is political correctness. Our students are taught that you must not judge other people. You must not judge other religions. One religion is as good as another. There are many different ways to heaven. The Christian religion is not the only religion. It's not the only way to heaven. I was so thankful to hear David Limbaugh close the way that he did, and he really emphasized the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I was reading in one of Luther's works before you and Todd came in this afternoon, and in the one letter that he had written to someone who was challenging some of his writings back in 1520, he simply said to this man, "You can assail my person, and you can do it in any way that you want, because I'm not an angel." In other words, he meant, I'm not holy. But he said, "I will allow no one to assail my teaching, because it is not my teaching, it is God's teaching. My neighbor's salvation and my salvation are dependent on that. And for that reason, I would never back off. I would always say, neither is there a salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So political correctness has to go out the window. We have to speak up in defense of our Christian faith, and we need to do it in a kind and in a loving way.
There are other campus ministries here. There are many different Christian denominations, not all of which who would affirm or preach or teach what you just affirmed, that Christ is the one and only way of salvation. They would place him perhaps as a preeminent way for Christians, but maybe there's a way for others as well. And there are non-Christian religions that are also present on the campus as well. How do you equip the college student who's busy with the social life and the studies and all of the challenges of being a student that already exist to deal with those challenges as well?
That's a good question again, Pastor Wilkin, and I would say I would challenge my students who attend our campus ministry to set aside time every day to read Scripture. Stay in that devotional life, because in Scripture, God speaks to us, and in Scripture, God reinforces our faith. One of my students told me just Wednesday that she had heard in her residence hall that any religion is as good as the other, and we're all going to go to heaven anyway. And, you know, if we're all going to go to heaven, then I said to this gal, and I said, if we're all going to go to heaven, we may as well close shop here, and they may well close shop, you know, the one that told you that, because then there's no need for us to do what we're doing. But we know better than that. You know, the Bible says, hold on a second. We're all going to die because we're sinners, and there's only one way to get rid of that sin, and it's to lay it on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. His blood washes away that sin. His resurrection assures us of that. And for that reason, you know, Easter Sunday is always one of my favorite festivals. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And because he is risen, we know what awaits us by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And basically, Pastor Wilkin, that's one reason why I've decided I'd just as soon die in my boots, preaching and teaching, as long as I have the health to do it. Because just the other day I was reading 1 Corinthians 15, and we know how the last verse of that chapter goes. Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And notice what it says. You stand firm, you stand fast, but you don't stand still. And therefore, I'm not going to stand still.
Yes, absolutely. Pastor David Disson is our guest. You had some pretty big shoes to fill here when you came in after David Limbaugh. I think you're doing a good job.
Thank you. I'm not even trying to.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Friday. It's the 16th of April, broadcasting live from the Lutheran Chapel of Hope on the campus of Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. With the few minutes that we have left, Pastor Disson, you mentioned these challenges, the challenge to live the Christian life, the challenge against political correctness in all of its forms, in particular religious pluralism that you mentioned, these teachings that all roads lead to God. What about the basic challenge that the student probably faces, more so on the secular campus, I would imagine, against the Christian worldview as a broad way of looking at the world in the classroom, with the professor, with the instructor? That has got to be a major source of stress and a major challenge for the students as well.
I'm so glad you asked that question, Pastor Wilkin, because it just so happens that our Lutheran Student Fellowship has invited Dr. Kurt Marquardt to speak on the campus of Southeast Missouri State University this coming Monday, April 19th, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. at the University Center, the corner of Henderson and Normal, and it's going to be in the party room on the fourth floor. And he's going to be speaking on the case for intelligent design. Now, when I told the students, would you be interested in this, we have someone that would speak on it, they said, awesome, because they said, we are bombarded with this, you know, in the classroom. So, yes, they're faced with these things in the classroom here, like they are in high school and like they are in grade school. So, again, it's going back to Scripture.
Do you find that in terms of instructing in the Christian faith and in terms of instructing in the Christian life, the worldview, that campus ministry is sometimes remedial work? That is, you are trying, not to speak ill of those who have done work before you, but you are trying to undo sometimes with the students what 18 years of education may have done, or what 18 or 19 years of poor pastoral ministry at their home congregation may have done.
It works both ways, Pastor Wilkin. We have some very fine students here. In fact, I feel we have the cream of the crop. I love the students that we have here. They're good, solid students. Occasionally, you're going to find some, you know, that the catechesis may have been lacking, but man, the catechesis of some of these students has been great. And I would agree with what Jeff Schwartz says. Catechesis is very, very important. We don't want to dumb down the Christian faith. We want to catechize people.
We have 2 minutes. I'd like your thoughts, since we sit here on a state university campus. Someone says, look, the best path for the Christian student is to avoid the pitfalls and the temptations and the challenges of the secular classroom. Send them to Bible college. The Christian doesn't belong there because they're going to be corrupted. They're going to lose their faith if they go to a place like this. How do you respond?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to speak against sending a student to a good, solid Christian college. I think that's very beneficial for them. We would not have started Saxony Lutheran High School here in Southeast Missouri 4 years ago if we didn't feel it would be important to be able to move children from our Christian day school, grade 1 through 8, into a Lutheran high school, and then others look at advanced education beyond that. On the other hand, we've got students here that are doing a very fine job of witnessing. You know, they limit my ability here to, you know, I cannot go out and proselytize. But let me tell you, we got a couple of students right here today. In fact, they're on the panel, and these students are reaching out to fellow students. They're inviting them to Bible class, bringing them to Bible class, bringing them to chapel. So when you hear people say mission work is not being done or evangelism is not being done, they just don't know our students here.
Pastor David Disson, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues Etc. Pastor Disson will be back with us when we have our pastor's roundtable a little later in the program. When we come back from this break, we're going to move from the subject of campus ministry to the object of campus ministry, that is the students themselves. Feel free to join us with a question or a comment in the next part of this second hour of Issues Etc. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We'll also have a pastor's roundtable. When we get Pastor Disson back here with the other pastors a little later, I like his answer to this question. Given the fact that he is a grandfather himself, probably one of the only grandfathers sitting here today, what does he make of it when he hears people say, this isn't your grandfather's church? We'll get his answer when we have the pastor's roundtable, and we'll round off today's program with a half hour talking to some lay people in a layperson's roundtable here on Issues Etc. When we come back from this break, 4 students will join us. I don't know how we're going to divide up the microphones, but we will somehow. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In true Christian worship, God always acts first. He descends from heaven through His Word and sacraments, bringing us sinners healing. It's the healing of the forgiveness of sins won at the cross by Jesus Christ our Savior. He heals our guilt, our depression, our grief. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for April is called They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. You can order They Will See His Face by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can also go online to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and find information about this book. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for April, They Will See His Face, Worship and Healing. 1-800-325-3040.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Detmer. Next month, the first legal homosexual marriages are likely to take place in Massachusetts. While the debate over the appropriateness of gay marriage continues, a practical issue is about to hit America full force: the effect gay marriage will have on health care costs. Keith Peters has more from Washington.
The Family Research Council says that if homosexuals and their high-risk health behaviors are covered, health care costs will force annual premiums to increase between $300 to $500. Randy Thomas of Exodus International.
The health of homosexual males and homosexual females when it comes to sexually transmitted diseases and other issues run a lot higher in those communities.
Thomas says to mandate health coverage for those communities is to mandate higher bills for us all. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council says the people involved in risky lifestyles should pay, not the rest of us.
We single people out who smoke, we single out people who drink, and we charge them higher premiums because it's a risky lifestyle. We're not saying they shouldn't have health care, but they should carry the cost of it.
He says everyone needs to understand that there are public consequences at stake here.
Ultimately, we only have so much resources, and if we're going to say it's okay to live in a risky lifestyle and we're going to take care of you, somebody is not going to get the health care coverage that they need.
And that could mean that some American families may be forced to drop their health care coverage altogether. With baby boomers beginning to reach their senior years, a real health care crisis could loom. For Family News in Focus, I'm Keith Peters in Washington.
According to the Human Rights Campaign, costs for a homosexual HIV/AIDS patient come in at about $10,000 to $12,000 a year. Another problem, some faith-based groups may be unfairly forced to offer benefits to homosexual couples. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Hi, this is Chuck Rafferty asking you to begin thinking about supporting Share-a-thon 2004. AM 850 KFUO is celebrating its 80th anniversary, and the future couldn't be brighter. For AM 850 KFUO is truly becoming worldwide KFUO. Because of our internet ministry, we have heard from listeners in Sweden, Brazil, Australia, and Hong Kong. Please prayerfully consider making a generous gift during Share-a-thon 2004, Thursday through Saturday, April 22nd through the 24th, here on AM 850 KFUO. How does worship heal anxiety, guilt, loneliness, and grief? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April deals with worship and healing. It's titled, They Will See His Face. You can find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Just click the What's New section. The title of the book, They Will See His Face.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the middle of the second hour, we are not changing the subject so much as moving on to the object of campus ministry. We're going to talk about the life of a Christian student at a secular university. We've done this before. We were recently up at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Mequon, Wisconsin, which is a parochial campus, a Christian campus, and we talked to the students there. Life is not that much different, but there is a different element here, and that this we're talking about a secular university. We're broadcasting live from Lutheran Chapel of Hope on the campus of Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Now, if you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, feel free to do so at any time. Even though we are doing this remote, we can take your questions and comments with no trouble at all at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. In the third hour of the program, two parts to that hour, we'll be talking to a pastor's roundtable. You never want for interesting conversation when you throw up. I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't like hanging out with pastors. I am one, but I don't particularly care for their company. One or two that I know of that I could stand for more than about a half hour. Probably the reason I spend my day sitting alone in my office and then alone in the studio with someone who's about as far as a pastor, far from a pastor as one can be. It's just my preference, okay? No offense to anybody. But you get four pastors in a room and then you add one like me, it'll be an interesting conversation starting our third hour, Issues, etc. And we'll round it off talking with some of the lay people here in Southeast Missouri on some of the same subjects. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Joining us here in our roundtable of students to talk about a life of a Christian student at a secular university are Patrick Grant, Tara Tolner? Sorry, Tara. Tara. Tara Tolner and Ben Simmons and Terry Bartels. Welcome to Issues Etc., all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start with Patrick, if we could, because Patrick's been named the cream of the crop by a previous guest. Patrick, what is it like as a young person on the secular campus to be served in campus ministry by someone on the far side of life's experience from you, an old guy like Pastor David Disson? What about it, Patrick?
Well, I think he tells me on a about weekly basis that he's not really that old, even though I think most of us in here know the truth. He is older than dirt. We don't find it that difficult. We can relate to him on a couple of topics a week sometimes, and it works out for us.
Is it a father-son or grandfather-son or...
Great-grandfather-son works out.
That's how it is. Same question for you, Terry. What's it like? In most campus ministries, they choose the young, hip, goateed guy who walks around in baggy jeans and what everybody else wears. You have a very different campus minister. What's it like to be served there in that way?
I figured out, I'd actually been to another campus ministry on campus where they have a younger person, and I just realized that Pastor Disson, actually, he's very informative on the Bible. He's there to give us help. He knows, he's been through the experiences that we're going through, whereas other people, they don't have that quite experience. He's just a really great guy, you know. He's still down to earth, and you can relate to him and a lot of things. So,
Tara, do you find that having the experienced pastoral presence, as you're a student here, you're in your senior year, correct?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to call me sir, by the way. Do you find that having that has been an anchor for you in the course of your education? Someone who says, okay, they know life, they know life's hardships, they've raised a family, they've been I'm hoping to go through, as you have gone through 4 years of college at a secular university?
Yeah, actually, it has helped a lot. Like, there's been comments that pastor's old, but he may look old in years, but he has got a feisty spirit. He can run with the best of us, so... His knowledge in the Bible and with just the things that happen in life has really influenced me a lot with college. It's helped kept me on the campus ministries track, just knowing that I can count on him for anything. And I remember my sophomore year, he made the comment that to someone else who later told me that he tried to avoid forming a father-daughter relationship with me. Well, it was unavoidable. I look at him like he's a father to me.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Ben, why a secular university as a young Christian man? Why a secular university? What do you hope to do with your life? What are you studying for?
I'm studying history.
Okay. What do you hope to do with that?
I'm not really sure, actually. Yeah.
I kind of expected that answer. the same question to you, Tara. What are you studying for?
I'm studying environmental science with an emphasis in business.
And to Patrick as well?
I study engineering, physics, and physics.
And Terry?
Interior design.
Interior design.
Yeah.
That will probably be more lucrative than history. It probably will be. You could have your own television show the way television is now with interior design. To all of you, and I'll take you one at a time, we'll begin with Ben. Why you have this idea, okay, history is what I want to study, or it's what I've fallen into. Why the secular university, and did you have any misgivings as you entered as a Christian onto a secular campus?
No, I never really thought about it coming from a secular high school as well. I began attending this university because I was given some scholarships to it, and that was the reason for attending this school. But I really didn't think of it in terms of misgivings because I had been used to the secular education my whole life.
What about you, Tara?
I'm the same with Ben. When I really faced the hard time was I went to a Lutheran school, first to eighth grades, and so then going to high school, a public high school, it was a real eye-opener, but that prepared me for going to a public university.
Patrick?
Like Tara, I went to a parochial school from kindergarten through eighth grade and then transferred into a secular high school. And after coming here, I must say that I've really strengthened my faith through the use of the campus ministry, the Chapel of Hope, and even Zion Lutheran out in Gordonville. I feel that I'm a lot stronger in my faith now than I was coming out of high school.
Did you have misgivings having seen both the parochial setting of education, the secular setting of education, the big university is the big time? Did you have misgivings entering there as a Christian young man?
No, not really. I've been pretty strong in my faith so far, and I don't think that staying on a secular campus or going to a secular college is going to change that.
What about you, Terry?
I'd have to say I was the same as Tara and Patrick. Like, I went to a Lutheran grade school, and then I went to a public high school. And so I was kind of scared coming here because I've heard all about the party scene at colleges, and I'm not really like that. So, but here I just realized that when you're bombarded with those things, like, if you really look for Christians on a campus, you're going to find them, and then you can just hang out with them, and then you just bond relationships. And I've really grown in my faith because I meet these people who don't know God, you know, and I kind of feel sorry for them, and I realize I don't want their life, and so I just, like, my faith has actually grown seeing that different, whereas in other schools you don't.
Patrick, back to you. When we talked with Pastor Disson, he mentioned three major challenges that he perceived for the Christian student on the secular campus during 4 years of college, and sometimes nowadays it's more than 4 years. He mentioned Christian life, just the challenge to live the Christian life, live in your baptismal grace, the challenge of political correctness, and the challenge of the predominant message, which is all roads lead to God. Christians aren't going to heaven, but so are the Buddhists, and so are the Hindus, and so are the Muslims. Do you agree that those are the challenges that you face as a Christian student on the secular campus?
I believe those are three of the main challenges that a lot of Christians face. I don't believe it's too bad for me in particular. Living the Christian life is very difficult, especially around a college campus. Staying true on our baptismal grace, and that we can do that if we try, especially in southern Missouri. We are in the Bible Belt, and as Terry said, we meet a lot of Christians around here, and it gets the word out, and you start getting in. I've gotten in more Christian discussions down here and just literally argued with people till 4 a.m. about different views and different faiths, and it really helps to see different points of view. And a lot of times you can come out convincing people that, yes, that not every road can lead to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He is the only way."
You, Tara, have had more experience here, coming to the end of your education at Southeast Missouri State University here in Cape. Be honest. Where do the real temptations lie in the course of that? I mean, we talk about the party scene or the fraternities and the sororities. How difficult has that been?
For me, probably the biggest temptation for me is just trying to continue to make time to go to church and to go to Bible study. I've never really been big into the party scene, so it hasn't been that hard of a temptation for me. So I guess just time management really has been a big one for me, because I am a senior community advisor on campus, the residence halls. And so, plus I work 20 hours a week, plus I go to school full time. So I'm constantly busy. And so it's really hard to continue to keep up time management, but that's probably the biggest thing that I've had to worry about.
And the challenges in the classroom that you have seen in the course of 4 years to your Christian faith, to your Christian worldview?
That's been really difficult, because I am an environmental science major, and that falls under the biology department. And I've had professors just flat out point me out and say, "How can you be in this major and still believe in God? How can you not accept evolution as a law?" They don't consider it a theory. They consider it a law.
How do you respond to that?
It's really hard for me. I've had a lot of discussions with Pastor Disson, because they basically say, all I have is biblical backing. And to me, that's enough. And to other Christians, that's enough. But to them, it's just a book of stories, and they don't want to accept it. They're not going to accept it.
Do you find in the classroom, in particular in the sciences there, do you find that the views that Orthodox Christians hold as a matter of course, things like God is the creator of the world in 6 days, the fall of man into sin, the real truth and history of the incarnation of Christ, his death and his resurrection as a payment for sin, his second coming, that this is all coming to an end, it's not going to go on forever. Do you find that to be something that they take seriously at all? Have you come across a professor who says, "Okay, I take that stuff seriously, but I got to teach you this or I got to teach you that"?
I've actually had two professors throughout my college career in the sciences who have said, yes, before they start teaching the evolution, they say, "Before I start this, I want to say that I am a Christian and that I do believe in God and creationism, but I have to teach this. And if you guys would like to discuss with me outside the class evolution in your beliefs, I'd be happy to, but right now I just need to stick with what I'm supposed to teach you, and that is evolution.
Ben, what about your fellow students? When you or others are challenged on your Christian worldview or on what Christians hold near and dear as far as their beliefs, do the other students take those views seriously? Or do you find that they're mocked or made fun of or ignored or considered ridiculous?
I think there is a lot of mocking and ridiculous consideration for it. There's a lot of sin around, and it really affects everybody, and there's always the temptation for it. And then for somebody to stand up and try and actually support what is right and what is godly, it can lead to a lot of outcast, that they're made an outcast among their peers. And it really seems to be a lot of problems among the people I've seen.
Patrick, do you feel at times, talking about that struggle to live the Christian life, like you stick out like a sore thumb on the secular university, especially on the weekends? Because I remember I went to a parochial college, but the weekends, you couldn't have told, except for the fact that we didn't, when everyone was drinking, they were doing it against the rules. When everyone was having a good time, they were doing it against the rules. You couldn't have told the difference between that and a secular campus. Do you find that you stick out like a sore thumb, or at least you feel like you do?
Sometimes I do, other times I don't. It just depends on where I am at the time. There are a lot of events around this campus that they try and maintain for people that don't want to go out and drink and don't want to do the godless living. The campus, or the organizations on campus, do put on a lot of events. They have midnight movies and different alternatives to drinking is what they are, alternatives to partying that they provide for us students to go to if we don't want to end up in that scenario.
Terry, do you think your parents have an accurate picture of what really happens on the university campus?
No.
Are you honest with them about that? I mean, do you tell them you wouldn't believe, or?
My father is actually a pastor, so if he found out some of the things, I mean, like, so he knows.
Would he make you come home?
Probably not.
Okay. We're talking with the four students here in a round table of students, talking about the Christian life and the life of the Christian student at a secular university. Our guests are Patrick Grant, Tara Tolner, I'll get your name right, Tara Tolner, Ben Simmons, and Terry Bartles. As we come to the midpoint of our conversation, let's go around and find out where each one of you are from. Where do you hail from, Terry?
I'm from Parkview, Iowa.
And Patrick?
I'm from St. Peter, Illinois.
Right. Terry?
Tara? I'm from Bunston, Missouri.
I'm from Hammond, Indiana.
Okay, now a couple of you are out of state, actually. Is that correct? Three of you are out of state. What about being away from home? What's that like for you? Let's start with you, Terry.
It's really hard. I guess I'm a family girl, but it's helped me grow in my independence, and it's definitely tested me on my faith a lot this past semester.
Patrick, what's it like to be away from home for extended periods of time like this?
Well, I'm away from home, but I'm also a lot closer than some of the people that live in Missouri. Illinois is just on the other side of the river, and I don't live that far into it, so I can get home on occasion. But it is kind of nice to be away from home and see a new environment, because I live a little bit of a sheltered life back home, and the world's not always going to be like that. That's one benefit the secular campus has. It will let people see what's going to happen when they get out into the workplace and continue their lives later.
You've been away from home for 4 years in your senior year now, Tara. What's it like being away from home? Have you grown used to it? Are you ready to leave the nest entirely?
Yeah, I definitely think I am. Being away from home since my freshman, I have not lived at home for more than a week since my freshman year in college. I've had summer jobs where I've lived away, or I've just stayed down here in Cape. It has strengthened me with my faith. I feel like I've grown more and I've learned more, and so I'm definitely ready to get away from here and get away from family and just embark on my own life.
Get away from family. Doesn't sound good.
No, I love my family. It's not that. Just that I need independence.
Right. And Ben, what about you?
Well, like Tara, I'll be graduating this May, actually. And my plan right now is to move back home and with my parents. But when I first started down here as a freshman, it was very hard. I didn't think it was affecting me. But it was a real drastic change to be down here away from everything I'd known my whole life. And so it took some getting used to, but at this point, I've become accustomed to the time I have to spend away from home.
I got a story on that I'll tell in a minute, but first I'd like to invite our listeners to join us as well, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And anyone who sits here in our live studio audience is also welcome to join us as well. We'll move the microphones around to accommodate your questions as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Monica. She's calling from Swansea. Monica, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks. This is great because I have a high school junior, and we're on the college hunt, and it's mind-boggling, to say the least, and that's besides the academic issues. One thing I've noticed when we've taken all these college campus tours, and some of them calling themselves even Christian universities, the dormitory situations. Unbelievable, a number of co-ed dorms, and if they're not even co-ed dorms, they are floors stacked on top of each other where it's girls, guys, girls, guys, girls, guys. I have my concerns about that, obviously, as a mom. And the most recent one that we took, the guy who gave us the tour went, got the RA out, and the RA talked to the parents about, if your children are struggling with sexual issues, come to me. I can provide the basic needs in terms of protection against sexually transmitted diseases, counsel them. I was absolutely shocked to have a 21-year-old standing there telling my son to come see him for condoms. So I would like to hear what you guys have to say about that. Is that a reality on campus? Is that something that he's going to be facing no matter where he goes?
Monica, thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
Okay. You guys have Monica's question. Let's start with you, Tara.
I can kind of sympathize with her. I think my dad had a heart attack when my older sister went to college and he saw urinals on the girls' floor. As a community advisor, parents come to me all the time when they're first moving in, because I am a community advisor in the freshman residence hall. They come to me about this kind of stuff, and I tell them that, you know, there are 24-hour visitation rights and males are allowed on the floor. But you really have to have faith in your children, I think, because I have not had a problem in the last 2 years that I've been a community advisor with sexual activities going on. Most of them really stick to what they believe in, and I lost my train of thought.
Well, do parents have reason to be terrified? Be honest.
Parents that overreact may have a reason to be terrified. Many parents do overreact thinking about the college life. What they forget is that they do have to trust their children, and there will be locked doors between rooms and floors at night and times when bad situations may occur.
Go ahead, Ben.
I must say I'm a few years removed from the dorms, but when I did live there, there was the certain amount of monkey business going around. But it never came to me, even though the temptation was presented to me. I was raised strongly by my parents to resist these sorts of things, and I think with the proper upbringing, any child would be able to resist anything that comes at them in the dorms.
I have a final question for all of you, and I'm going to start with Ben and move around the horn here so that Terry will have the most time to think about her answer. Do any of you have younger siblings, younger brothers and sisters? No, Tara does. Yes? Yes. All right. So for those who don't, use this as a hypothetical, if you would. You've got a little brother or sister who is just graduating from high school this year, and they're thinking about following in your footsteps into the secular university. You have the opportunity to sit down and talk with them and lay it on the line and say, this is what it's really all about. This is what you're going to be doing for 4 years, and this is going to be how hard it's going to be. What do you say to them, to your younger brother or sister, as they get ready to follow in your footsteps to the secular university? Ben, let's begin with you.
I think I would tell them to try to stick to what they had been raised with and remember that the sin will always be around them, and they would have to stand strong and chart their own course and not go into the temptation, and because God doesn't want us to do sin. He's against the sin, and so we have to stick strong, and he should get himself into the Lutheran Chapel of Hope or other such organization where he can be with people who have similar beliefs as him, and that way that he can stay strong through it.
And Tara, he warns against the temptations there. What would you say to a sibling?
I kind of want to reemphasize what Ben said. Stay true to your beliefs. Get involved with the campus ministry. It may not seem like it's the popular thing to do, but there are a lot more Christians on campus than what a lot of people think there are. And just remember, when you come into times of temptation, remember, God said he'd always be with us. He may not make it easy for us, but he'll always be with us. And just remembering that helps me get through, and I know would help probably everybody else get through as well.
Patrick?
My little brother just got his license and is well on his way to a secular university from the way it looks. And I've talked to him several times about what college is really like and how tempting things are going to get for him. And I gave him the advice of just put a cross above your bed. That way when you wake up, it's the first thing you see. And when you go to bed, it's the last thing you see. And if you stick with your beliefs, there will be people out there that respect those beliefs, and you will become friends with the right kind of people through that.
And you, Terry. Advice.
I would have to say the exact same thing that my dad told me when I went to college. He told me to remember whose child I was. And he wasn't talking about him. He was talking about God. And so, you know, when God's on your side, nothing can be against you. You can face anything. So I just have to tell them that. And I do have two younger brothers, and I will be sure to tell them that when they get to college.
You do that, Terry. Thank you very much. And to Ben, to Tara, to Patrick, to Terry, thank you very much for being our guest. And this is the settling.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm put in mind of my senior year when I don't know why I decided to do this, but I decided to stay through the summer and detassel corn, which lasted about 3 days. I'm not cut out for detasseling corn. All right. So in any event, I decided in lieu of doing detasseling corn and making a lot of money during the summer, I would make no money and take summer school. So there I am in an empty dorm all summer long taking summer school. I was too prideful to go home and say to mom and dad, I was an idiot. I had to stay there, so I went to summer school. I've never been so homesick in all my life. I'd have senior, and I had spent almost every summer away from my parents. I was like you, Tara, where I didn't go home. I was so homesick. And I remember getting on the phone with my parents and talking to them, and my dad saying, well, look, first he said, look, this was your idea. All right. My mom said, if you want to come home, we'll pay for the plane ticket. Of course, I couldn't do that. I had grades riding on it then. And my dad said, look, I know you miss us, and I know that you miss this. This is going to be the beginning of your life. This is the way it's going to be. And he gave me some very good advice, very similar to what Terry's father said before she came off to college. He said, you are God's child. No matter where you are, you're never far away from your father, from your heavenly father. And you know what? Although I didn't feel any better about being away from my parents, it did comfort me knowing that even though they weren't around to take care of me and comfort me, a better father, our heavenly father, was there. When we come back, we're going to be talking to a roundtable of pastors, and something will ensue. I'm certain it will. Join us with a question or a comment at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.